The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
What you're about to see is my full, unedited debate with the Shameless Lib. We debate if Trump is a threat to democracy, how Democrats have failed at the border, and it heats up, guys. And stay tuned for part two, because we talk about economics and religion. It's coming out later this week. You can check out the Shameless Lib social media in the description. Now, here is the debate. All right, guys, I'm here with the Shameless Lib, Luca, and we're going to be talking about Donald Trump and immigration first. I'm going to read my claim that I'm going to be defending, then Luca's, and then Luca, since you're my guest, why don't you make your case first, and I'll respond from there. So my claim about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump is the best president of the century, and he is far better than any of the alternatives that we would have had, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris, etc. Luca's claim is that Trump is anti-excellence, he is incompetent, and a threat to democracy. So, Luca, the time's yours.
Awesome. All three of those things are true, so let's take it one by one a bit. One of the things I find so ironic about the modern-day Republican Party is that the Republican Party used to be the party of capitalism, of alleged meritocracy, and excellence, and if you worked hard and if you were great, you could have a place in this country. And Donald Trump is the complete opposite of that. His entire administration has been a war on excellence. He hates people who are good at things, whether that be people in the Fed, whether that be generals, whether that be the tons of career diplomats who actually know what's going on that were fired by Elon Musk and Big Balls, a student from Northeastern. The reality is that excellence is antithetical to who Trump is, and it always has been. Trump is a failed businessman. He managed to make a casino go bankrupt. If he had put the $400 million he had inherited from his father throughout his entire life just in the S&P 500, given a 10% return or even an 8% return, he would have around $16 billion to $20 billion. He could have literally done nothing, and he would have more money than he has now. Shows not such a great businessman. That's on the competent side. What's really concerning about Trump, not only his war on excellence, his war on competence, also he's a threat to democracy. Let's be honest here. He rejects democratic norms. And with the recent bombing of Venezuela and the capture of Maduro, whatever you think about whether that was the right choice or not, he certainly did not follow the principles and procedures that are in place for the president to do things like that. But more broadly, and also in a bigger picture sense, January 6th, and the election lie were truly some of those dangerous things that have happened to this country. We have not ever had a transfer of power that was so difficult, at least in the modern era. And having someone like Trump, who's clearly a narcissist, clearly only cares about himself, and is willing to take foreign bribes like a Qatari 747, he's taking weird made-up prizes from FIFA and from Netanyahu, the Israel prize. People know that they can just buy his heart through praising him, because that's who he is. He only wants prizes. He's only there for the accolades, and he's only there for himself.
Okay, so let's address those one at a time. Let's talk about the meritocracy debate, and then we'll get into the threat to democracy part. What is your definition then of what success looks like from an American president? Because the things that you cited just now included people who have been a part of the American politic forever and frankly have done a horrible job. If you're talking about members who have, you know, I'm talking about members of the past administrations, part of the foreign affairs committees, part of the Biden and Obama, and frankly, even the Bush administration, who, sure, they studied politics their whole life, but they were absolute failures when it came to foreign policy, when it came to economics. You can point to their diplomas. I don't think that equals excellency or, you know, merit. And so I guess I need to understand your definition of what that would mean, because all you pointed to are people who have diplomas but not actual results.
For sure. So what I mean by this is people who actually know what's going on. This is their life calling. We've seen this. We talk about the UN a lot, and we talk about the UN and the WEF and all of these kinds of organizations as kind of examples of this career bureaucrat failure. And while I agree that a lot of these diplomats and a lot of these bureaucrats have not been as effective as they could be, we can talk about the peacekeeping missions and those failures all day long. What I will say, though, is that this entire Western liberal world order that Trump and, I guess, now the even more right-wing wing of the Republican Party from Nick Fuentes is extremely opposed to, this has been the most peaceful time, literally in human history, the most prosperous time, the time when people are living the best. We haven't had a major war since World War II. When we talk about things not going right in foreign policy, I think there's a lot to talk about Iraq war. We can talk about forever wars. Those are, of course, problems. But when we look at the on the whole picture, when you look at the big picture, things have been going well. And that's because we've recognized that people who know how to do things should be in these places. Not people like Pete Hegseth, who's never had a managerial role of any kind. He's the most objectively the least qualified Secretary of Defense in recent history. Not talking about RFK Jr., not talking about Dr. Oz, who's a TV doctor. This administration makes a joke out of people who are good at their jobs and puts people who have drinking problems. Pete Hegseth said he'd stop drinking if he becomes Secretary of Defense. What a promise from the Secretary of Defense. Such a low bar that we have for these people. It's ridiculous. We need to restore competence and restore excellence in the civil service.
Yeah, my problem with that is all the things that you're bringing up are resumes of people, but not actually the results of what's happened. So my claim is that Donald Trump is the best president of the century. I'm never going to argue that President Trump has been perfect. I'm not even going to argue that he is the best person in America to be president. I'm just arguing that out of all the presidents we've had, he has been by far the best. And again, I'm very simple about this. I look at the results. I think we could both agree that the Bush administration on foreign policy was a complete failure. The Iraq War, Operation Desert Storm, was a complete failure. Obama was the striker in chief. He killed numerous civilians with drones all the time. Russia took Crimea in 2014 under Obama. 2016 hit, or rather 2017, when Donald Trump took office. No new wars whatsoever. Then Donald Trump leaves, and immediately Russia invades Ukraine under Biden. Immediately. By the way, Biden has tweeted out during his time that Maduro is stronger than Trump, that Trump is weak. But Maduro continued to rain terror on his people, and it was not until Donald Trump took his second term that he correctly removed Maduro from Venezuela, and all Venezuelans cheered. So you can talk about Pete Hegseth maybe being the most or least qualified. I don't really know. Like, you might be totally right on that. I don't really care, and I don't think any other Americans care. I think they care about results. And again, if you look at every American president in this century, it's not even close who has had the most peace.
Well, I think that's on its face untrue. I mean, Trump has not stopped Ukraine. He's not stopped what's going on in Gaza.
But who invaded you? But when did, well, I agree, as we have it to stopped understand, it, but they never yeah, invaded it during Trump.
Understand the past implications. Trump, in many ways, laid the groundwork for what happened in Gaza with the Abraham Accords, with recognizing Jerusalem by moving the U.S. embassy there. When you have policies like this, yes, you're going to alienate Palestinians. You're going to make people angry. That's what happens. Every historian agrees that these were at least contributing factors. So what I will say, I'm a bit more on the fence about what went on in Venezuela than a lot of people on the left. Maduro was an evil man. He was not the legitimate president of that country. He was not the leader. And he should never have been president. And I think the jury is still out on what will happen there. You know, if Machado can come in, I think that looks really positive and that would be really good. But this could also be a power vacuum and this could look like Iraq. So that all remains to be seen. I think what the key point here, though, is that Trump has also failed to stop these other global conflicts. And the even broader point is that these global conflicts, Ukraine, Gaza, Venezuela, are like this small compared to the conflicts that used to happen before the liberal world order that Trump so fervently opposes.
I don't totally agree with that. I don't disagree in the fact that the world has gotten more peaceful. I don't agree in the same way that these are just tiny conflicts that were started. You're acting like starting a conflict.
They're tiny relative to what used to be. They're tiny relative to World War II and World War I.
I understand, but what you are pointing to is that Trump has this burden of stopping conflicts, but you are not giving any of the burden to the American presidents that started the conflicts in the first place. Like, you don't think that Biden has any culpability for what happened in Gaza or in Ukraine, whereas now it's all Trump's fault because he's not stopping what was already started for years before him?
No, I don't think it's all Trump's fault. Of course, Biden. Look, on the left, there were people who defended Biden, and there were people on the ground who knew that Biden was not up for the job. I was one of the people who knew, hey, this guy can't even speak a sentence. That's probably a problem for the president of the United States. So I'm not going to sit here and defend Biden. But I think that's a difference, though, that when Democrats know that someone on their side is wrong, look at Bill Clinton and the Epstein files. No one's defending that guy. Everyone's like, yeah, he's clearly a creep. And, you know, we probably shouldn't have anything to do with that. Whereas Republicans are clutching their pearls now that it looks like Trump has very close relations to Epstein. And is being very sketchy about what's going on with the Epstein files. So I think that also shows a bit of a mentality difference between the two parties. And I think this is something really big that we should also discuss. Is this key mentality difference? Democrats, we are way less culty. We're way less tribal. We're much more into, hey, if this person's good, we're going to like them. And hey, this person who we used to like, we don't like anymore. Hillary Clinton has been thrown under the bus. A ton of Democrats have been thrown under the bus. You guys don't do that same thing at all because a lot of your politicians just want power. Not saying ours don't. But Luca, ours are much more principled than yours.
Luca, this last year, just 1 year ago, your party did not even hold a primary for president. And you were calling Republicans more culty.
Nobody
Think about
that
for
that.
A moment.
Nobody wanted that, though. We well, actually, everyone in the party
what
knows
do you mean
that was
nobody,
wrong.
No, nah, but the party itself, I understand that the Democrat
voters
didn't
want it. Yeah, the DNC is a totally flawed organization. The DNC is completely
okay.
flawed.
Okay, well,
I totally
perfect.
Agree.
And more culty
that's
than
not,
the Repo-
that's not a policy matter. That's that the vast majority of the, I'm talking about the people in the party. I'm not talking about the heads of the party. If we can talk about forever okay. how okay. the DNC screwed over Bernie Sanders, that was a huge thing. The DNC forever has not been an agent of actual Democrats. We're working on that. Ken Martin's been a lot better, and I want to applaud Ken Martin. He's been a lot better, and the DNC's getting better. But when you talk about, of course, with Kamala, yeah, there should have been an open primary. Everyone, yeah. Of course, and most
so it would
Democrats
seem to me going back to your statement that started this debate, it would seem to me that Democrats, and I'm talking about the Democrat elite, I'm not talking about Democrats at large, the Democrat elite is more of a threat to democracy than Donald Trump has ever been, because Donald Trump
that's
has
patently false, because
Donald Trump has never rigged a primary ever.
Oh, that is a decision within our own party. That's vastly different from a decision for the entire country. Those are not even remotely
massive,
comparable things.
That has massive
remotely
Democratic
comparable.
Well, and that has massive Democratic implications. I mean, you can't.
No, not
there's
not,
no
whatever,
one
the
else
party,
for Democrats to vote for.
The party can choose to do what it wants. And while Democrats, we can discuss and disagree, and now we're making reforms to make sure that doesn't happen again. That was not for the entire country. Those are completely different things. This was you're trying to compare an internal party process to literally a guy who is calling the Georgia Secretary of State to ask for votes. And then incited a violent insurrection on the U.S. Capitol. Those two things are not even close to being comparable.
So do you think it was fair enough? So do you think it's comparable in 2020 when the Democrat Party was openly colluding with social media websites to bury stories about the president or the future president's son in order to win an election?
Yeah, this is such a nonsense talking point. We can talk about Hunter Biden forever. I mean, did he do bad things? Is he a weird, like, bad guy? Like,
there,
yeah,
there are,
probably.
But there are polls that have come out that said, if you knew about this before the election, would you have voted for Joe Biden? And the answer was
this
no.
This talking point is so dead. This talking point is so dead. When it's not true, I mean, obviously, like this is such a nonsense scandal. It was a laptop. He does drugs, and it's like, whoa, the Trump kids do stuff worse every single day. I mean, they're doing business in Saudi Arabia. They're doing all kinds of fraudulent things. Not talking about Bitcoin. Are we going to talk about the insane crypto things that the whole Trump administration is doing? You can't track that stuff. We have no idea how much money is coming in from horrible foreign actors and all kinds of things. We know Trump's influenced by money because that's what he wants. This is a broader problem, though, but I'm going to stay on this because Hunter Biden has become such a story because it's a single instance. It's very easy to grab onto. And this is something you'll notice about dialogue between the two parties. Mm-hmm. In Democratic politics, we do bad things sometimes. Hunter Biden, yeah, that was bad. And it's very easy for Republicans to grab onto those. Republicans do so many bad things. They flood the zone with bad things. So now we're just scrambling and we can't even pick a single one. So it's much harder to put together a narrative. I could go down a list of literally like a dozen things that the Trump kids and even Trump himself and his administration have done that are like infinitely more corrupt than what Hunter Biden ever did.
Before we get back to our conversation, guys, I got to tell you about something that you always need for your car, your home, and your travel bag. Noxiderm. I've got mine right here. Today's bacteria are tougher, more dangerous than ever, and every cut, scrape, or burn carries a risk of infection. That's why I use Noxiderm, a premium first aid antiseptic foam that helps protect minor wounds from infection. Noxiderm is also formulated with nitric oxide, which is nature's miracle molecule to support healthier looking skin and reduce the appearance of scars. As someone who has type 1 diabetes myself, wounds take a little bit longer to heal than they did before, which can raise the risk of infection. And that's why Noxiderm is an important and powerful investment in myself and my family's everyday protection. For an exclusive listener offer, guys, visit shop.noxiderm.com/Josh Carr. Enter the promo code on the screen right now or in the show notes. Don't hesitate. Take care of yourself and your loved ones. This message was sponsored by Noxiderm. Noxiderm does not endorse the views expressed in this program. It's for minor cuts, scrapes, and burns only, not for serious wounds. A brief sting on first uses is normal. Noxiderm helps reduce bacteria on the skin surface and supports healthier looking skin. It is not a substitute for professional medical care.
So my problem is not with the corruption. Obviously, I have a problem with corruption. I'm fully okay to admit that Donald Trump's children have been engaged in stuff in the Middle East that I'm not personally cool with. And obviously, you're saying that you're not cool with what was in the Biden laptop. My point is simply, when Donald Trump's kids go do out things that we all kind of think are like, that's questionable, it's on the news. Everyone knows about it immediately, and there's no actual physical cover-up. But when it happens on the left, it's all colluded. The Democrat Party reaches out to Mark Zuckerberg, says,
"What are you talking about? Mark Zuckerberg was at
that.
Trump's election. He was at Trump's election in 2024. Mark Zuckerberg is a tech oligarch who's on Team Trump.
No,
Democrats
Mark Zuckerberg
have been
had to, no Mark.
But
Zuckerberg
you just said
had,
Mark Zuckerberg.
I know, but he had nothing to do with Donald Trump in 2020 whatsoever."
Like, Democrats have been censored. If you want to talk about censorship, if that's a different conversation you want to go. I mean, you want to talk about pro-Palestine protesters who have been censored, people have been deported for saying things.
What I'm simply saying. Yeah, I understand there's censorship on both sides. I'm simply saying that there have been actual institutional from the Democrat Party and from Democrat presidents trying to collude with other mainstream media outlets or alternative media like Facebook to subvert information in order to win elections. I think that is a threat to democracy.
That's such nonsense. You guys do so much worse. You know about the Tenet Media scandal where Dave Rubin and a ton of other conservatives were literally being funneled money from Russia.
There was no...
What about Tucker Carlson and Qatar?
That would be like
Tucker Carlson.
The Republican Party, I understand that scandal. The Republican Party had nothing to do with that. You're talking about independent political commentators, but you're
conflating so many things. Who are the Democrats? I'm confused who you think Democrats are. I'm referring to Democratic people. If you want to refer to a few like out of touch elites who nobody, this is the difference, by the way, between the two parties, is that the Republican base likes your elites who are doing bad things. The Democrat base doesn't like when our elites do bad things because we can see and we can say, hey, that was bad. You guys are way more culty and you say, no, we're actually going to defend all of that and we want Trump to run in 2028. You know, people have been saying that. Even if you disagree with that, people in your party have been saying that, and that's very scary.
I agree with you, and I've called them out repeatedly. Those are the fringe actors. Donald Trump himself has said he is not running in 2028. You know he's not running in 2028. I know you know that.
I sure hope so, but I'm saying a lot of people in your party, a significant chunk, more than you wish.
No. We're talking about less than 5%.
You want to talk about Nick Fuentes? Nick Fuentes has a massive hold on your party. Look at Tucker. Look at Candace. Look at all of these people.
No, absolutely. He does not. Whereas you've got people in Virginia, you've got Jay Jones, the attorney general in Virginia, who got a majority of Virginians to vote for him when he called to end the lives of children. So if you want to talk about elites,
he actually
won an election. Nick Fuentes has never won an election.
Yeah, I hope that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Let's hope so.
In any case, let's move on from this. I think we've spoken our piece. Let's talk about immigration because we're running out of time here. Let me go to our claims so that and I don't want to misrepresent it. So if I say it wrong, you tell me. My claim, and I'll start with this one if that's okay. My claim is that our border should be completely closed right now. And when I say that, I mean to illegal immigration. And on the legal migration standpoint, I think it should be reduced significantly for a time. Your claim is that we should have selective enforcement. And when you say that, do you mean selective enforcement of deportations? Is that what you're talking about?
I'll talk about that.
Okay.
Fair
enough. I mean, my position's simple. We have to stop the bleeding. Trump has been incredibly effective at doing that over the last few months. I don't think that's really subjective. I think that's an objective fact just in terms of closing the border, if that's what you want. He's done it very well. And I think that there's no reason someone should be able to come into our country if they are not going to become an American. And when they are a Mexican and they're coming to our country, they can take with them their awesome culture, but they have to learn English and they cannot call themselves Mexicans anymore. They are now Americans. If they want to say, yes, ethnically, I'm Mexican. Yes, I love salsa. Yes, I love my sopes and my burritos and my tacos. Awesome. I don't care about that. If you want to keep speaking Spanish, you can keep speaking Spanish, but you also have to learn English. All of that's cool, but you have to become an American. That's the whole thing.
No, I agree with the latter half. I'm probably more assimilation in favor of that than a lot of people on the left are. Yeah, you should probably speak English. But I think the way more pertinent point here is less about immigration policy right now. I support, you know, traditionally liberal immigration policy. You know, we should be kind about it. We should be letting people in, but not, you know, not too many people. You know, we have a border for a reason. We're a country. But we also have to be compassionate to people who weren't lucky to be born in this specific geographic location. With all that being said, what's really happening here is about the deportations.
Okay.
The deportations are cruel, they're unnecessary, and I mean, they're ridiculous. You know, you have people wearing masks on the street, grabbing people who are peaceful, who have families here, who are hard workers. I'm from Los Angeles. I've seen this, and I know, I mean, these are people who are part of community fabrics. These are not people who are like, you know, illegal aliens. The word alien, I hate that word because it's so othering. Because that's what has to be done.
That's what it means.
You have to see these people as
something. That is what it means, though.
Like,
they're from another place. I think that's, I don't think that's true. Like, the word alien originally just means not from here. So I think they call
them anything
else.
That's what it originally means. There are a lot of words that are original that we don't use anymore because we're like, yeah, it was probably a bad word. Like alien. It's like a bad word. It's not a nice word. What does the word alien mean? If I say alien, you think of someone from another planet. You know that's what it means.
Sure.
I'm not going to deny the legal definition. But you want to talk about, I mean, the legal definition. Brandon Johnson, I thought, was fantastic, the mayor of Chicago, when someone said illegal alien. He was like, the term for my people used to be slave. And it's like, yeah, words matter. And illegal alien's part of that. It's part of this othering agenda. It's part of saying, you know, the second you see this man who has a family here, who's been peaceful his entire life, and is now being dragged out of the country by men in masks, you see that, and you have to think he's someone so different from you. Because otherwise you couldn't help but care. And that's what's part of this. You have to other these people. And the entire, one of the big things of the administration has been not just this enforcement of the law. Obama, people love to talk about Obama when it comes to deportations. Oh, deporter in chief, da, 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 da. Sure, whatever. I don't like that he did that. He did that. And guess what? He did it without making a mess. He did it in as kind of a way as you can. And he did it without making a national narrative on race, on immigration, and on ethnicity. Right? Because that's what this is about. This is not about enforcing the law. If this was about purely enforcing the law, he would have done it like Obama did it. Obama was about purely enforcing the law. Trump is about sparking racial and cultural tensions, about sparking immigration tensions, about sparking nativist sentiment. That's what Trump is about. That's why he posts videos of people like, you know, screaming on the ground is literally they're being separated from their families. It's disgusting. It's totally not just beneath the office, it's beneath anybody. I mean, literally. And it's very disturbing to me that people can say, yeah, we shouldn't have, you know, people who are undocumented in this country. I'd say, yeah, we should streamline the path to citizenship. Right now, if you're not a skilled worker, it's literally impossible for you to come here legally. I mean, literally. That has to change. I totally agree. If we want to talk about paths to citizenship, I'm all for that. What I'm not for is taking people who have built lives here, who have built families here, who have kids here, and are being dragged out of this country. That's disgusting. It has to stop.
Before we get back to the conversation, guys, it is tax season. And tax season can suck, but I wanted to tell you about the people who do my taxes, Quick Tax America. Quick Tax America does my taxes for only $76. That is right. Every single federal tax return through them is only $76. It does not matter how complicated your taxes are. They keep it at that price no matter what. Go check them out right now, or when you get those tax documents, they take care of all the work themselves rather than you having to go find every deduction and every credit. They got their average client last year over $3,000 back in their return. They did a fantastic job for me. Go check them out when you get those tax documents at quicktaxamerica.com.
Yeah, Luca, it scares me, though, that you're not seeing the connection between if we start making the path to citizenship easier, how that incentivizes people to just come here illegally. The reason why Donald Trump is able to close the border is not because he built a wall, right? There was no wall that was built between Biden.
That was another failed promise from him. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it was, because literally he tried to give Democrats and a way for DACA to get citizenship, and they turned it down because all he wanted was $8 billion to build a wall. In any case, there's no wall that came up between Biden and Trump. But people stopped coming. Why? Because the incentive structure changed. Under Biden, it was come through. All you got to say is these magic words. And the cartel is going to cart you through, by the way. I can get into the cartel all day and how the Biden administration and the Obama administration put these people in harm's way. Children have been murdered, raped. There are people in our country right now, I've met literally hundreds of them, who are paying the cartel like they pay their mortgage. And if they don't pay them, their people in Michoacan or Colima or Jalisco will be murdered by the cartel, is how it works. And that has happened because of Biden. In any case,
all of this is nonsense. Just make them citizens. They don't have to pay anybody. What even is that?
The reason why they were able to come, the whole reason they were able to, well, let me explain it. Let me explain it. The people were able to come across the border. The south, the part of our border that Mexico controls is run by the cartel. In order for them to get through the cartel, they must pay the cartel. If they do not have the money,
so just don't make them do that. Then just make it an official process. That's all you have to do.
They cannot come through. It's on the Mexico side of the border.
No, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about
if you have your papers, you just go through. You don't have to pay anybody.
The Mexican cartel runs the north border of Mexico.
Right, because they're trying to get people in who are coming in undocumented. Right, that's what's going on. I don't dispute that. I think it's not happening so much, but I don't dispute that. What I do dispute is that we can just make that not a problem
and just
by
let
streamlining
everyone
the path
in.
To citizenship. That's not. No, you don't let everyone in. Of course you don't let everyone in. You have a selective process. Right?
What is the selective process then? Because all you've said so far is that people right now have to have skills, and that is not appropriate. So you're just saying any unskilled person just can come in. What's the line?
No, you should have a background check for these people. You should, you know, make them learn. I agree. You should have them learn English. They have to take a citizenship test. Being a citizen, by the way, my dad did this. He's a naturalized citizen here. Not to out him now, I guess, in the Trump administration. But this is, I mean, the most mind-boggling process with the most paperwork you could literally ever imagine. So yeah, I think the process is like hard enough. If you're someone from like a village with no internet, you're already like, There's a sense where you have to care enough to want to come here. There's a survivor's bias in the immigration population here, because to be an immigrant, you already have to be highly motivated. I mean, think of the person who gets up with their family, trudges through the jungle to come to this country to try to build a better life. That is a highly motivated person who is wanting to make their life better. You're not importing like lazy people who are.
I agree. They're not
immigrant. They're taking your welfare, but they're also taking your jobs. These narratives, because none of them are true, and it's really about creating a nativist sentiment.
Yeah, just because you hiked across the desert in order to make your family a better place does not mean you're going to make America a better place, and that's the fundamental problem with
assimilation. Just because you were born here doesn't mean you're going to make America a better place.
Well,
what do you mean?
I agree, but to a certain extent, there's no way that a country can have a responsibility to someone outside of its borders like it does to someone who was born
here. Not a responsibility. It's by
that's
saying,
what you're saying.
Hey, no, it's not a responsibility at all. No, all you're doing is you're giving people that chance, one, not only to make their own lives better, but two, these people make our country better. There are so many ways. I mean, we could talk about unskilled, undocumented immigrants who literally carry the farming industry in this country, like, on their backs, like, genuinely. We can also talk about skilled immigrants. We can talk about the right-wing attack on the H-1B visa. Well, that's really actually coming from both sides. The H-1B visa built this country. The H-1B visa built Silicon Valley. It is one of the reasons why we have those talented people here who are making... This really makes America great. Trump doesn't understand a single thing about what makes America great. We can talk about the elite universities here that attract these people. And now Trump is not only attacking Harvard, he's going after other Ivy Leagues. He's going after international students of the highest caliber. This is part of his war on excellence. It's all part of... It's all this amalgamation of mediocrity and of just general nativist sentiment. I think that's what's going on.
So, Luca, I want to understand your position on this. So I just want to distill it down to what it is. Yeah. If there is someone, say in Mexico, that wants to come to the United States because they want to build a better life, what are the qualifications for them to come?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very complicated question that takes tons of, like,
just give me the top three. Just give me the top three.
Yeah, they should probably be proficient in English.
Okay.
They have to take a test to understand the rules and the laws here. That would probably be the biggest thing. I mean, the most important thing we can talk about in your party, this has been a big thing, is who is an American? What does that word even mean?
Yeah.
We talk about this a lot. An American is somebody who believes in the Constitution of this country and in the Declaration of Independence of this country. That's what an American is someone who in their hearts, we're a creedal nation, right? We're not an ethno state. That's why when people are just like, well, you know, Italy without Italians, it's like, no, we're not that. We're not Japan. Japan is, you know, the Han Chinese are all in China. It's like, that's not who we are. We're an exceptional nation.
I'm fine with that.
Because of that.
I'm fine with that. I agree with you that it's not an ethno state. My simple point and the things that you just brought up, learning English, like understanding and obeying the Constitution, love it, great with it. Do you not understand, though, that when we let a ton of people into our country who do not have those things, and then we provide them a path to citizenship without deporting them, that that shows perverse incentives? That that's never going to happen because no we have one, not...
You're confusing a few different things here. No one's letting people in. I don't know.
That's all Biden did.
Biden's not letting people in. Yes, he just reduced enforcement. That's not the same. Letting is an active. He did a passive, but we're not going
to. But we all know that passive things create incentives for people to come. So people showed up to the border.
Sure.
They said, I have a real fear that I'm going to be murdered in my country.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, you can have asylum here.
But what's the problem? What was the negative implication of that? You're pointing out all this.
They didn't speak English. I'm going off of what you said. They didn't speak English. They did not respect our Constitution.
Obviously, who? What? The only person who doesn't respect our Constitution is the man in the Oval Office. Who from the undocumented immigrants don't respect the Constitution? What does that even mean?
I would say every single one that's committed a crime since they've entered.
How many? They commit crimes at lower rates than we do. And they're
that's missing the whole point, though. That's missing the whole point. Don't tell me about the rates. Don't tell me about the rates. Because a single person, I'm not disputing it. What I'm saying is that a single person who should not be here in the first place committing a crime is a mistake.
I mean,
they should not have been here in the first place.
You're not justifying what's actually going on. You're just doing a false appeal to authority by appealing to the law. The law in this land used to be Jim Crow. Don't appeal to the law. Tell me why this is actually should be the case.
I am appealing to the rules.
More immigrants need more jobs for everyone.
I am appealing to the rule that you set, which is that if we want immigrants, they should respect the Constitution, the law of the land, and speak English.
The vast majority of them do. The vast majority of them do. Not the speak English part. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with the speak English part. Yeah. I wish some more of them would speak English.
So what's the number? What's the number then?
You should probably be proficient.
What would you say? Like if only 5%? Commit a crime, then that's like worth letting people in if they have an asylum claim?
Worth letting people in. Your whole framing of this issue is completely off. We're not letting people in. What we should have, here's what you have to understand, is a streamlined path to citizenship. So motivated people, by the way, which is already the case, motivated people can come to this country. That's what goes on. These people carry American jobs on their backs. Tons of local businesses are going to be closing because people are being deported. I mean, think of a restaurant where the manager and maybe a chef are citizens, but then the rest of the staff are all undocumented.
I understand.
They're deported. Whole thing's done.
I'm trying to nail down, I'm trying to nail down. Do you believe currently that people should be able to come to our border, walk to it, say that they have a true claim of asylum, and come in?
Yeah, I don't have... I mean, I think, you know, there should be an investigation of that. There should be better, faster court proceedings for these kinds of things. But yeah, I'm generally sympathetic to people who come from
but
bad
do not
places.
This is the whole point.
What is the problem? What is the now?
You've
downside?
Created a whole incentive structure for people to come here that don't actually have asylum claims, don't have any of the rules that
you
said.
Why isn't didn't the whole world just come to the border under Biden if it was so open?
A huge percentage.
How many?
Did.
Why didn't every single person in South America just come?
Because I don't think every person in South America wanted to come to America. I've met many.
Okay,
people
there you
who
go. That's also
there.
A natural selection filter where you get people who don't want to be in America. They don't come here.
So,
right?
Right. So if an Iranian or an Uzbekistani wants to fly to Mexico and come across our border and they say that, hey, I have a real claim of asylum, that's okay with you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't care, and I don't see
that is a
downside.
National security crisis.
What is the downside? Who are the terrorists who are coming in? When was the last terrorist attack that was from like an undocumented immigrant? What are you even talking about? When
pick one? It's because it happens every weekend. Weekend.
What are you talking about? You can't even name one. This is the point, though. We just fearmonger nonsense.
I'm trying to say one right now. You had Uzbekistani terrorists. That's why I use that as an example.
Yeah.
Coming through the border in 2020, and they were apprehended at the border, luckily. But who knows how many did not get apprehended.
In 2020, who was president at that point?
Biden.
Okay. So, point being, we actually caught them. So, it wasn't completely open. So, you just kind of worked against yourself there. Other point being is that You're a Mormon, which is a segment of Christianity. I'm not going to get into the specific Mormon parts of that.
Sure.
Christianity is a religion that believes in minimizing suffering and making people's lives better.
Yep.
That's a lot of the project of Christianity. I'm not going to only lean on Christianity for this argument. I'm not a Christian myself. But the problem is that if you want to minimize suffering, I want to minimize suffering. I wish people all could be wealthy and have great lives. If we want to minimize suffering, we need to be letting more people in. Because think about this, right? If you're taking a Mexican immigrant who lived a very rough life in Mexico and is now coming to America and is extremely happy and prosperous, that is a net. Even if the Americans literally benefit from this, by the way. It creates jobs for us. It makes American citizens' lives better, right? We're decreasing suffering on a global scale by doing this. It's a utilitarian argument, right?
Yeah,
you have to understand on an outcome basis, we are decreasing suffering by having like what Biden had. Like you said, he still caught the bad guys at the border. We were not just letting anyone in.
You don't know who you didn't let in, and we've had countless terrorist attacks. I'm not a utilitarian.
Where? When? What are you talking about?
I'm not a utilitarian.
The Mexican, like gardeners are like bombing people? Like, no, of course not.
No,
because they come here to make a better life.
No, I mean, there's Tren de Aragua gang members here in Utah that are Venezuelan gang members. They've terrorized people just 50 minutes from my house.
Sure.
I mean, no, it's just true. I mean, you can have a blind eye. Here's my point, really, truly. You mentioned Christianity. You mentioned people, you know, we don't want people to suffer. And I agree with you. And I think that when people are using callous language towards immigrants, that's a mistake. But I have
like
to be clear
about
this.
Alien. Absolutely.
That's not callous language. That's
totally
not what I'm
callous.
Talking about.
It's definitionally callous.
Okay, we can agree to disagree on that. My point is this. The Democrat policies surrounding immigration hurt Americans, but they also hurt the illegal immigrants.
They don't hurt Americans at all. How have they hurt Americans? Literally, how have they hurt Americans?
Every person who's ever been killed or robbed by an illegal immigrant in our country.
You have to understand this. Let me ask you a question. How many Americans would you... let me phrase it this way. How many Mexicans would you kill to save one American?
I wouldn't kill anybody, obviously.
I'm just saying this in this hypothetical scenario.
But no one. I don't even know.
No, so you relinquish.
You're saying if they're coming to attack an American?
How much more does an American matter than a Mexican? Is five Mexicans the equivalent of one American?
So what is the ratio here?
Well,
let me answer the question
before
you interrupt me. On a personal level, on a personal value of life, they're equal. From a government standpoint, there is zero amount. There's not a number of infinite Mexicans cannot be worth anything to the American government.
They're worth nothing?
They must
prioritize. How much to the American government should they be worth?
If you're prioritizing things, they should prioritize one American life.
By how much?
Over
by
anyone
how much?
In Mexico. Anyone
how
in
much?
Mexico. Anyone.
Zero. So you'd kill every single Mexican. If you were the president of the United States, you'd kill every single Mexican to save a single American. Just putting that on the
table. But that's what you're saying.
That's the implication of what you're saying.
I'm not saying they should kill anybody. What I'm just simply saying is they should prioritize an American.
I'm taking your logic to its conclusion, which you refuse to do. That's exactly what you're saying.
What I'm saying?
How much? Deal with the extent. I agree. I agree. The American government should prioritize Americans. Yeah. But how much?
So I can flip. Yeah, you can flip that on its head and say how much, how many illegal immigrants should come into America? At what point? Like, what's the number there? Until no, this is too much.
The number, I mean, we can take in like two or three times more than we were under Biden. It would have been no problem. That's what every economist says.
No, And but the consequences are dire. You can see
no,
what
they're
is
not.
Happening.
Where? What are you seeing? What are you seeing? You see nothing. You see Mexicans, the vast majority coming and living great lives, and we've reduced global suffering, and that's good. And you see a few bad actors who do like very rarely lower per capita ratio of crime than natural born Americans. I mean, I don't know. We're not dealing with these two sides. You have to understand that Mexicans have moral worth. They matter. And if we can reduce their suffering, that's good. And we should do it.
Yeah, we are just not on the same page in terms of the crime that's gone in our country from illegal immigrants. I don't think we're going to get there because, you know, we're reading different news sources and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I can't.
It's nonsense.
No, there's, you know, all
that's
going on.
There's like three instances and every single one of them has been on Fox. And it's like, wow.
No, I can't even begin to talk about it. I mean, there are literally thousands and thousands of cases. And so to have you turn such a blind eye to that, I think is frankly, I mean, it's crazy to me to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I didn't get to finish my point on this. Sure. I actually feel very sadly for the illegal immigrants and the way that they've been abused at the southern border, not by guards, but by the cartel and the way that they're treated in our country. Not
and in Trump's cages and by separating families. Do you feel bad about that?
The ones that Obama implemented? Is that what you're talking about?
And that Trump continued?
I do think that
Obama
children,
did it at a much, much less scale, by the way.
No, not true. But
oh, totally.
I do believe that children should be separated from adults trafficking them across the border, yes.
Ooh, even if they're parents?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, Lord. That's,
yeah,
that's
I definitely don't think kids should be trafficked across the border. And I definitely think their documents proving that their parents don't hold up. And America should not be responsible for trafficking children like it's been done. And that's been broadly documented as well. But again, ultimately, to get trafficked across the border by the cartel is just a horrible thing. And I think Democrats have created the incentives for that.
No, you just make it easier so normal people can go. You don't need the cartel. I don't know why you don't see that as like an obvious solution to this thing.
I don't think you're understanding.
It's an obvious solution.
Whether you're coming across legally or illegally, the border at the north side of Mexico
are
is
you
controlled
getting trapped
by the cartel.
If you drove to Tijuana, could you just ride back to San Diego? Yes, of course you could. So could I. Everyone does that all the time in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah,
because if you have the documentation, you just go to the thing and they lift the gate for you.
Yes,
that's
you
what
can
we
go
can do for everybody,
yeah,
except we have these ridiculously arbitrary laws and you have to have people with the cartel trafficking them across. And take this point. Imagine how bad your life has to be and how much better you think it's going to be in America to have the cartel traffic you across. You must be in damn dire straits for that. And we should be helping these people.
My point is that you have said there's no limit to the amount of people
there's
who
not
can claim
no
asylum.
Limit. I said two to three times.
There's
that's
almost,
what I said.
There is a
that's not
huge
no limit.
Limit.
You're the one there's who a, said there's no limit there's on how many Mexicans you'd kill to save an American.
There's a huge limit on who can come across illegally. In my case, I would say it's illegal, but you're saying through some sort of an asylum claim. There is nobody who is going to wait in Mexico under those circumstances and wait for their papers to go through, even if it's easy, when they can just show up to the border and claim asylum. Why would you wait?
Because it's hard and most people don't want to do it. I don't think you have a grasping concept of the fact that like in a lot of other countries, people literally work like every second like to survive and they don't have the chance to bring, you know, people are not going to go solo. There's so many reasons why people wouldn't leave. I mean, many people just don't have that chance. And I think with the people who do have the chance and have a computer, I mean, think of the knowledge, think of the resources that you have to even begin to contemplate coming to this country, right? That's why most people don't do it. That's why even under Biden, when you want to say it's an open border, obviously that's not true. We apprehended Uzbeki terrorists, like you said. It was not an open border because under your own logic, then everyone would have just came. Everyone would have just came if it was an open border. But
there
no,
11 what million was, people that came. I mean, that's a lot.
And
of
guess
people.
What? And guess what happened? Nothing. We got more jobs and they were happier. That's what happened. Whoa.
You don't think economically in the last 4 years, anything bad has happened? You don't think there's been any crime rates that have increased over the last 4 years?
I think COVID did a lot of damage to the economy, but I don't know if you're going to try to tie that to immigration.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you that COVID, and by COVID, you mean the policies that were implemented during COVID created bad economic things.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi, Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.